Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. It's time for all things Braves.
That ball's got a chance. That ball is gone.
It's the Braves Preview Show with Andy Bunker,
Caleb Johnson,
and Joe Patrick,
who will preview our 2021 Braves.
The Braves Preview Show is on
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Well, happy Sunday. Welcome in Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, the Braves Preview Show with you from now until 2 o'clock. Myself, Andy Bunker, alongside Joe Patrick and Caleb Johnson from the Batter Up podcast, available on 92.9thegame.com and everywhere you get your podcasts every single week right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. And less than a week till opening day, we find out a lot of interesting news yesterday about what the opening day roster is going to look like. And over the next 2 hours, we're going to go big picture expectations, individual expectations, lineup construction, the rotation, the bullpen, all kinds of different deep dives. But I think we start with the news that we got yesterday, guys, is we know what the opening day roster is going to look like. We know that there's going to be 10 pitchers in the bullpen, 4 bats on the bench. And we know who those names are as well. First and foremost, Hi, guys. Hi, hey. Hi, Joe. Hi, Caleb. How are you?
It is wild. It's wild to be back on the air. Me and Caleb here are in the studio here in Midtown Atlanta. It's what a time to be alive, right?
Hold on. I'm not doing sports flashes. I don't know if I can talk on air without it being scripted.
Try to only talk in 90-second chunks, yeah. If you can help it. And if you can sprinkle in audio every 45 seconds, sure. That would be helpful as well.
I will do my best.
Obviously, a lot to talk about, though. Yes, I am broadcasting from the comfort of my own home. I'm close to Truist. I'm close to Truist Park, so maybe that makes sense as we're going to spend the next 2 hours talking Braves. But we'll start with you, Joe. We get some interesting info yesterday about some of the guys that are going to be on the roster in Pablo Sandoval and A-Ray Adrianza and Alex Jackson, and some news about some guys that aren't as well. What surprised you yesterday when we learned of the decisions by Brian Snitker?
Yeah, just what everybody predicted, right? 10 relievers on the opening day roster.
Right.
I was surprised that Johan Camargo did end up getting optioned yesterday. I thought that he was a guy who, I mean, obviously he's not performed to the level that he did when he kind of broke out in 2018, but I still figured that he was relatively safe for this opening day roster based on the fact that he's got, you know, he can play multiple positions. He's just familiar with this group that's been together for a few years now in this Braves organization. I just felt like he was a piece, but at the end of the day, I'm kind of pleased that he's not because it shows that this team really is being constructed based on merit and not based on some of these other factors. So, and I'm sure that we'll see Johan Camargo at some point if he's not dealt or anything like that. But that was probably the one that surprised me the most. I think just overall, it was just the general construction of this opening day roster mm-hmm. is what really kind of caught me off guard to an extent.
What about you, Caleb? Is there any sort of theory as to why the decisions were made the way that they were made? I understand Joe's talking about merit, which is, you know, the most important thing. I mean, you want guys to make the team based on performing well in spring. I would argue that not all of the decisions yesterday were based on merit, but we'll get to that in just a minute. Is there sort of a unifying thread or a philosophical marker here that you can see that Snit was making with the decisions that he made yesterday?
It didn't seem like these decisions weren't based on history over time. I guess as much as, you know, what we saw this spring, it was that, hey, we need some guys with some pop as far as when it comes to the bats. And then some strategic decisions when it comes to, like, sending down Contreras, mm-hmm. having Jackson back there. I think I'd really talked myself into having Contreras on this team mm-hmm. just based on the fact that Gwinnett's not going to get started until May. But it seems like it's worth, for the Braves, it's worth them having Contreras getting everyday bats at the training site rather than sitting on the bench like Alex Jackson will to start the season.
Yeah, that was the one that kind of stood out to me yesterday as, okay, like I understand the decision that was made in the big picture in that William Contreras will be at the alternate site for the next month. And then when AAA season gets underway, he'll be with the Gwinnett Stripers and he'll be playing every single day. And he'll be able to get the at-bats that he otherwise wouldn't be able to get if he was on the roster backing up Travis d'Arnaud. I mean, the other thing that we saw, I think we probably already knew this, but it was just like doubled down on yesterday, is Travis d'Arnaud is going to play a lot of catcher this year. Like, he's going to play 130 games this year because...
Does that not scare anybody else? Because it terrifies me.
It scares me.
Oh, go for it. Well, go for it.
Let me start. I just think that William Contreras is definitely going to be used quite a bit at the major league level. I think that we should get used to seeing him. I just don't think that, Travis d'Arnaud or any catcher really can just go through a season, especially playing in Atlanta where these summers are pretty brutal. Catcher is already a very brutal position to play just on the body. And Travis d'Arnaud is a guy who's had his fair share of injuries in the past. I mean, that's one of the reasons why the Braves were able to snag him on a relatively cheap deal to bring him to Atlanta was because he'd had some injuries that were affecting him. So I think it's important to actually give him rest and make sure that he is kind of sharp and on top of his game, because otherwise you're not getting the Travis d'Arnaud that we have been used to seeing like last year. And so I think for that reason, it's kind of nice that the Braves have a few options they can go to if they need to give him rest. You know, you can always find a groin or a back injury at some point during the season to set him down for 15 games or so and let Contreras and Jackson kind of handle duties like they did to start the season last year. You know, it's kind of funny that the Braves had Travis d'Arnaud and Tyler Flowers last year, but yet to start the season, it was Alex Jackson and William Contreras, and they did okay. I think both of them are league average. You're not missing a ton with those guys in the lineup.
Well, it feels like Contreras could be more than that.
Yes.
Right? Like it feels, and he had like 180 at bats in AA a couple years ago. So it's hard to say that you can make the jump from that being your most experienced season to then being on the big league roster without really having a ton of AAA. And look, I mean, everybody who wasn't on the big league roster last year just had a weird year where they kind of had a gap in their development because of what it was. There was no minor league season. I know there was the alternate site and all that, but this is not the same. So I understand the idea of wanting to get him the development as much as possible, and hopefully he can grow into being that guy, because it seems like that's how they see him. Like, mm-hmm. Or at least that's what Snit said yesterday, was he's too good not to be playing every day, which is funny because then you sort of, he didn't say this, but you apply that to Alex Jackson. It's like he's bad enough to not be playing every day.
It's fine if he sits on the bench a little while.
I think it's better if he sits on the bench a lot. You know what I mean? Like Alex Jackson bat is like a, you know, he's a very, very serviceable backup.
Yeah.
Defensively, he's solid. At the plate, I mean, anything he gives you is a bonus, I feel like.
I kind of chuckled the other day when Snit was talking about Alex Jackson. He said, yeah, well, his slash line ain't any good, but...
Yeah, so what is? No? Okay.
Yeah, I mean, Alex Jackson is a good defensive catcher, to be fair to him. I mean, he's got power. It's just he can't, you know, it's a matter of putting the bat on the ball. So I'm definitely higher on William Contreras long term going forward and even right now. And I do think that in general, talking about this situation, obviously this whole minor league delay, you know, the minor league season's being delayed, I really feel like that has thrown a big wrinkle into how the Braves kind of went about constructing this roster, because it does change things. It changes things for a guy like your third catcher. It changes things for a guy like Mike Soroka, who mm-hmm. won't have live games to pitch in while he's trying to recover from his Achilles injury. So I think it does have some impact, and it will be interesting to kind of see what they do here, because I feel like they've set the opening day roster, but I feel like this team is not done making moves both before the season starts and I think early in the season. I think that this roster is really primed to be manipulated a little bit to get the pieces fitting a little bit, a little bit nicer in the overall.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if it's not May 15th by mm-hmm. the time it's really like, okay, this is the group that you can kind of count on going for, barring injuries or any unforeseen stuff that happens during seasons. But like with the Soroka injury, like you're talking about, with the minor league season starting late, with some of the decisions that they had to make with the bench guys, because Caleb, I mean, I understand the value of keeping guys on your roster on opening day and rewarding them for how they played in the spring. But you talk about the bench that the Braves are going to be rolling into opening day with. And again, not to say that things can't change over the first month or two of the season, not a lot of power. I mean, when you combine Adrianza, Sandoval, Ender Inciarte, and Alex Jackson, they had two home runs last year between the four of them in like 350 at bats. That's a bench that last year had Adam Duvall on it, who was third in the National League in home runs. So I mean, right there, that fall off is obvious. But just the idea of Pablo Sandoval being one of your four bench players is unique to me in and of itself. What was your take on him making the opening day roster?
Well, I was just about to say, I mean, it's one of those, doesn't that show you just how poorly Jake Lamb and Jason Kipnis were?
It yes.
It does.
Yeah, it's one of those, if you want, 34-year-old Pablo Sandoval on your roster who was brought in, like his glory days were his pop, you know, the fact that he was hitting long balls, and that's really just not a factor now. However, Jake Lamb was one of your big free agent signings that you brought in from the Diamondbacks thinking he was going to give you pop. That didn't happen. And then Jason Kipnis didn't do any better. And so the one strange thing is now you don't have that older leadership guy. You don't have a Charlie Culberson, a Nick Markakis on this team, which surprised me. I just knew that Snit was going to, you know, we need that kind of voice in the locker room. And instead, it seemed like they went towards, hey, Sandoval, you know, maybe didn't have crazy power in the spring, but he was at least consistent. And Adrianza, of course, we got to see what he did this spring. And so they earned their spots, and there won't be that leadership, that older guy in the locker room to give you those, you know, typical quotes every other game.
Can I just say I'm excited to look at Pablo Sandoval like he's our Bartolo Colon. You know, like just like good for him that he's still
in better
around.
Shape.
It's fun. It's fun to watch a guy like Pablo Sandoval. Do you know what you're going to get from him? Not necessarily. Is he going to be good? Who knows? But he's going to be fun to watch because he's just funny.
Look, I was about to say Brian Snicker the other day said that he would feel comfortable with Pablo Sandoval playing any infield position, which that's comforting, right?
Yeah. Again, like it's fun, sure. And I like where you're going with that, Joe, but like you might have to use that dude. You know what I mean? Like we're joking around talking about a guy who's a mascot. Like you might have to actually use him. I mean, he played in the NLCS last year. I know he was as a pinch hitter and didn't play a lot, but we're talking about a four-man bench because of how many pitchers you're keeping. And I understand at least partially why they're doing that because of the injury to Soroka and the fact that they're going to go bullpen game, the sixth game of the season, which we'll talk about throughout the show. But it feels like one of those Alex Anthopoulos end of spring training opening day moves maybe on the horizon. Like they've done this the last couple of years, right? Where Matt Joyce is added to the team or someone like that. And you end up getting actual production out of that player throughout the season, because as much as I understand that these guys were rewarded for playing really well in spring, and that's not even talking about Ender, who didn't play well in spring and can't really play well anymore.
And he missed some time in spring, too.
Ender Ciarte is on the roster because he makes $9 million. Yeah. That's why he's on the team. So, yeah, like it isn't – you have a great 1-8. You do. You have a great 1-8. You have a really good pitching rotation, and you have what looks like a really deep and talented bullpen. So I guess fretting about the opening day bench probably isn't that big of a deal, but at some point it feels like it will be that big of a deal because it's 162 games this year. We know that people get banged up. We understand how it works in long seasons, and the bench is just it's not good. Like the bench is not very good right now.
I mean, I think it is something to kind of worry about if it stays this way, especially because again, we talked about this on Andy and Randy, Andy, that you'll know about, but you know, like this is going to be a different year where there is no DH, and this bench is going to be relied on a lot more. You're going to need pinch hitters in the sixth, seventh, eighth innings. You know, you're going to need to go to those guys, and you certainly want guys there that you are confident in can put the bat on the ball, you know, and actually produce. So I think you're right, Andy. I don't think it's anything to kind of just like scoff at, but I do think that, you know, there is time. And I know some fans are upset, like, oh, how can you go into opening day and consider yourself a championship contender with this roster? Well, you know, a lot of teams win the World Series that aren't the favorites going into it on opening day. In fact, how many times have we seen the wild card just kind of sneak into the playoffs and then go on a run? But I do think that if you want to have a lot of confidence in this team winning the division, you do need to strengthen up this bench.
Look, guys, we're overlooking something very important when it comes to Pablo Sandoval. He's back in number 48. Ian Anderson has moved to number 36.
Oh, right.
Pablo Sandoval has been able to take his old number 48, so we can expect those San Francisco Giants days ahead.
Maybe that's why he won the spring training batting title.
Yeah, exactly.
It could very well be, because Melanson was 36 last year, right? Mm-hmm. So Kyle Wright could get that number because he's gone. And now Sandoval can have his number. I think what we're actually, and I don't think we're really overlooking it. I think we're just spending some time to start the show on the news that happened yesterday. I think the reason that you can dig into bench depth and things like this when we're previewing a season is because there just isn't a lot of competition or really discussion on what's happening 1 through 8. And that's good. That's because you're leading off with Ronald Acuna, who's one of the best players in baseball. And your third hitter is Freddie Freeman, who won the MVP last year. And you re-signed Marcelo Ozuna, who led the National League in home. You know what I mean? Like that's why we can debate Pablo Sandoval's number and all that kind of stuff, is because the actual lineup, like the actual guys that are going to be playing to start the year, are super good. And that's why I think this team should consider themselves a championship contender. And I know that we're going to get into those big picture expectations as the show goes on. You're listening to the Braves preview show here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Andy Bunker, Joe Patrick, and Caleb Johnson with you until 2 o'clock this afternoon. We'll come back and get into some of that big picture stuff. We wanted to definitely start the show with yesterday's news and the guys who are going to be on the opening day roster. Well, what to expect from the entire roster? What to expect from the season? We'll be right back on the Braves preview show. Don't go anywhere. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Talking all things Braves, it's the Braves preview show on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Welcome back to the Braves preview show here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Andy Bunker alongside Joe Patrick and Caleb Johnson hanging out until 2 o'clock this afternoon when we've got more March Madness coming your way right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. More Sweet 16 action this afternoon. We started with yesterday's news, and we'll get more into kind of the nuts and bolts of the roster and how certain things may potentially change and evolve over the first month of the season. But, I mean, we're doing a preview show. I think you got to just talk big picture, right? And correct me if I'm wrong. You guys may very well feel differently than this. I don't know. But, I mean, we had Paul Byrd on the show last week, and he pretty well echoed my sentiments. This could be one of the most exciting baseball teams to watch, not only in the league, but that we've watched in a good long time. I expect these guys to be really, really good. I understand there's a lot we're going to talk about over the next couple of hours, and no team is perfect, to be sure. But this team has a chance to be just as good as they've been the last couple of years, if not better. Joe?
Yeah, for sure. You know, reminds me of something I was thinking when I was taking a shower this morning. As I often take a shower and I think about the Braves, I was just thinking about this team and how...
It happens a lot?
It does. It happens all the time while I'm washing my legs, by the way.
It's important to wash your legs. I learned that lesson the hard way.
It definitely is. You know, it's interesting. I think that this Braves team is set up at an advantage. I know a lot of people are worried about the Mets. Obviously, the Mets have made big moves. They've got this new owner. They've been splashing the cash, bringing in Francisco Lindor, these top-quality players. But I really think where the Braves' advantage lies in this division race is the fact that this group has been together now for 3 years, like a very solid core, where you have a core of players that kind of runs the gamut of various qualities, whether it's Freddie Freeman and Ronald Acuna, who are kind of like MVP-level players. You've got Marcelo Ozuna, Ozzie Albies, Dansby Swanson, who are kind of like that all-star caliber. And you've even got the upcoming prospects, Christian Pache, Austin Riley, these types. And that's just in the starting lineup. I really like the continuity that this team has over the last few years. And that's what you get from having guys develop in your own system. Now, there are some drawbacks to that as well. This team has not made many moves, and now they're running into some technical issues with options and things like that. But I love the continuity that this team has. And that's why I have confidence that, you know, they're not going to do something that I'm not expecting this year.
Caleb?
I was just going to say, Joe, thanks for taking a run down the roster there. Just, you know, I'm just pinpointing every guy.
Just name all of them and nothing for Caleb to talk about.
No, it's fine. It's very Snit-esque of you. Mm-hmm. Oh, it's good. Mm-hmm. This guy's great. Oh, great stuff from this guy. Good stuff from this guy. Look, I am excited. I'm going to be the Eeyore of the group. I'm going to be the cautious guy of the group who... I've been a Braves fan for a long time and watched so many seasons where you go in super excited, and I think there is reason to be cautious of, like, sure, this looks like a talented team. I don't know where this thing is going to finish, but it's going to be fun along the way, as was last year's shortened season, where you had guys who, you know, Mike Soroka was up there competing for a Cy Young until an injury. You know, Freddie Freeman wins MVP. Marcell Ozuna was great until we got to the playoffs. However, along the way, it was really fun. And I think those are the kind of expectations you can take away instead of going into, this is going to be the greatest Braves season, because that starts getting into best shape of his life territory for players.
Yeah.
And just let's enjoy this thing. And maybe as the guy who's going to be a little bit negative when I look at the postseason, just enjoy it while it happens.
Well, I got to say, it's very interesting and difficult, I think, to try to project this season based on what we saw last year, because obviously, for obvious reasons, it's not the same as you normally would when you're projecting from one season to another. Last year, when you look at this Braves team and how they won, it was wild. They were using a million different starting pitchers. They were trading for starting pitchers and using them on the same day and then cutting them a week later. Yoli Chacin pitched for this team. Like, last year was just a wild year. Andy, you said, you know, Adam Duvall was third in the NL in home runs as a bench player. You know, so there are lots of things that you can't really account for coming into this season. But I just do think in general, I am just so looking forward to everything that this season's going to bring. Honestly, just looking past how much success they might have, I just think with fans coming back into the stadium, I think if you're the Braves, you're so fortunate to have a star player like Ronald Acuna Jr. Like, not many teams in baseball have that kind of player. That's not just, we talk about marketability and that kind of thing, but he's just an entertaining guy to watch play baseball when you're in the stadium. I don't care about, you know, market, you know, ads or anything sure. like that. I'm just talking sure. about, it's so fun to go to the ballpark and just watch these players play, and that's what I'm looking forward to this season, maybe more than anything.
Yeah, I mean, and I think the continuity argument for the lineup is definitely one that leads towards optimism. I think, Joe, you and I have talked about this, and I'm sure you guys have talked about this in the podcast as well, is with some of the young star power that you have, it's reasonable just to look at them and say, yeah, His progression is just up. Like, Ronald Acuna has been really, really good. He's been incredibly fun to watch. He's 23. It's going to get better. Mm-hmm. Like, over the next couple of years, you're going to see him continue to ascend as one of those players in baseball. Injuries have had a bit to do with it. Like, when Ronald Acuna is healthy, he's a 40-40 guy, and he's ridiculous when he was 21 years old. When he's banged up, last year he batted .250. Ozzy Albies is the same thing. Came back after the injury last year when healthy and really tore the cover off the ball. Early in the season when he was hurt, you know, he was impacted by it. But he's young too. There's a lot of young talent on this roster that's easy to look at and say, yeah, like, if they just take that logical next, okay, he was 23, now he's 24, he was 22, now he's 23, progression that you've seen players in baseball history make, then it's reasonable to say that even these guys that have already been here could be better. I'm interested, Caleb, in some of the cautionary stuff. Like, when you are thinking of, okay, yeah, this team is really talented and I do think that they can be really good, but maybe pump the brakes because of this, or maybe consider this before you go all in over here. What are some of those things that, when we're talking about expectations, maybe lead you to be a little bit more cautious?
Well, for one, is lovely Major League Baseball decided, hey, we're not going to be a fun league. We're going to be difficult. We're not going to have the designated hitter in the National League. Nah, let's go back to having pitchers hit. So now the Braves have got to change around how they were running their lineup from a year ago, where, yeah, Marcell Ozuna could sit on the bench and warm up and take whatever practice wings he wanted and then walk up there and hit home runs. And now he's going to be in the field. And so there's going to be a little bit more fatigue from him when he's coming into the batter's box. I think that is going to be an issue. Just the fact that you're going to have to work around the 9 hole, which is, you know, where we assume the pitcher will be, whether you want to move him around 8 or 9, it doesn't really matter. But you're going to have to work around that now. You're coming into a year where you signed Jake Lamb in the offseason to potentially see, hey, is he going to unseat Austin Riley at third base? I don't know. It didn't happen. But it certainly shouldn't make you feel comfortable about third base as a position. And then you look over to Austin Riley's, I guess, his left over at Dansby Swanson. And Dansby was a guy who was potentially in trade talks in the offseason if they could have gone after a guy like Francisco Lindor, because Dansby's like, well, I mean, he's consistent and he's a homegrown guy, but it's just, it's kind of like, meh, you know, there's something there. And so now you look at the end of the lineup and you go, well, there's some reasons to be concerned.
The obvious bummer of the DH being back, of course, is just obviously having the pitcher hit in general and just having to work around that, especially deep in games. But I also think what not having the DH is robbing us of is not being able to see Ronald Acuna Jr. bat first, Freddie Freeman bat second, and Marcelo Ozuna bat third, which is a just killer 1-2-3 way to have to start a game if you're an opposing pitcher. I still wonder if the Braves might go to that configuration with the pitcher batting eighth and potentially Christian Pache batting ninth, because Christian Pache is a guy who can, you know, he's not a great hitter at this point in his career, but he still seems to be, having good plate appearances. He can draw walks, he can work late long counts, and if you have Ronald Acuna behind you, maybe that helps you a lot. So, but that's the one thing I'm really, you know, if we're talking about bummers and things like that, I really wish we would see that kind of that 1-2-3 off the top. And then I would also say, just in terms of potential pitfalls for this team, we've talked about it a little bit just in terms of how top heavy this lineup is, but just injuries, you know, like the team does not have the depth down the roster to sustain an injury, a long-term injury to a guy like even a Dansby Swanson. I think you have a Hiré Adrianza, but I don't know how confident you are that he would be able to do a job in a long-term situation. And I think that if you lose any of these guys who are in this starting lineup for a considerable amount of time, that's going to put this team in a big hole. And so I just wonder, and, you know, there are guys like Austin Riley, who's a big guy who's dealt with injuries, you know, and they're going to have to battle a long season. That's another thing that this team has talked about where, you know, you're coming off of playing 60 games last year. I guarantee you this coming season is going to feel like the longest season they've played in their lives.
Yeah. No, I think that's right. And Austin Riley and some of the other names that were just listed, Dansby Swanson, we'll get to, I think, a little bit more deeply in about 10 minutes when we get to our Braves Wall Street segment, whose stock rising and whose stock is falling. But just from a big picture sort of roster conversation like you guys are talking about, I'm with you. I understand the concern of that back end of that lineup and what Christian Pache is going to be able to give you, I think is really vital, especially in a year where you're not going to have a DH, where you know that in the, whether it's the ninth spot or the eighth spot, you're having someone who goes up to bat three times a game who's going to bat like 150. Like, you're just going to have a spot in your lineup that's a hole. I mean, and that's the reality for every team in the National League. We know that. It was great last year when you didn't have to deal with that, but this year you do, and then it seems like next year we'll be back to universal DH, which is baseball in a nutshell, but that's, you know, that's neither here nor there. I think Christian Pache's ability to get on base,
yep,
is going to be really, really, really important. And that seems simplistic, but I just mean in terms of if he's batting at the end of the lineup and you've got Pache who's struggling and a pitcher who's struggling, that's a tough spot, man. You didn't have a weakness in your lineup like that last year, really, ever. Mm-hmm. Now you might have two spots back-to-back that look like that, and then the trickle-down effect that it has on how you can pitch to Austin Riley if he's batting seventh, or what happens when Ronald Acuna comes up later in games and there's two outs and nobody on and all that. It has an impact in a lot of different ways. And, you know, his ability to very quickly be able to prove that he's a big league hitter in terms of being able to get on base is going to be vital. The flip side of that, like you mentioned earlier, Joe and Caleb, is the fact that Marcelo Ozuna is going to have to play left field a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not great. Like, that's not, you know, he's not the best left fielder in the world.
That's being really kind.
He makes up for it most days in the batter's box. But I also think, you know, we're going to very quickly see what a guy who in a contract year in a 60 game season who didn't have to play defense ever was able to do at the plate versus a guy who's no longer in a contract season, who's now playing 162 games, who does have to play left field every day, looks like. Mm-hmm. I think it's reasonable to think that that guy might look a little bit different.
And it's not even like, I think the one aspect of it is the fact that he's particularly never been a great outfielder, and so you're like, well, oh, you're gonna, you know, lose a little bit out there in left field. It's also just endurance and the fact that,
sure,
during 2020, like, he could sit in the club, you know, on the bench, mm-hmm, and get some seeds, yeah, pop some seeds in, you know, spin them around, Talk
no
to
seeds,
guys.
No seeds.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, seeds were banned. Seeds were banned.
Well, sure.
Okay. But your point
the metaphorical
remains.
Seeds.
I was about to say, you tell me what I saw with my own eyes. But, no, but just the fact that he could sit around and swish some water and hang out, and now there's going to be that endurance. This has got to be built up for a guy who is a little on the heavier side.
And that, he's a big guy. Sure. I mean, he's a big power guy.
Big fella.
So
yeah.
It's going to be,
no doubt about it. I mean, these are things to consider. Last year was different than this year is for a lot of different reasons. The DH, the length of season, the contract year for him. I'm very intrigued to see what Marcelo Zuna looks like this year versus last year. I'm still optimistic about it, but I'm looking forward to seeing it. We'll get back into some other individuals coming up next as well in our Braves Wall Street segment. Whose stock is on the rise? Who's the GameStop of the Braves? Whose stock is falling? I thought I'd get a chuckle from you guys on that one. All right, we'll come back and get into our Braves Wall Street segment on the Braves Preview Show here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Now, back to more of our Braves Preview Show on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
You're listening to the Braves Preview Show here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Andy Bunker, Joe Patrick, Caleb Johnson with you until 2 o'clock this afternoon. Coming up in about 20 minutes to kick off the 1 o'clock hour, we'll get back into a little bit of what we learned yesterday, some of the final roster decisions from the Braves, and then maybe a lasting competition or two, if there's any competition still yet to be seen. I know there might be a little bit as far as the pitching goes, maybe in the bullpen and all that. But we'll get to some of what we learned yesterday coming up top of the 1 o'clock hour as we continue to preview the 2021 Braves season, which is 4 days away, guys. Opening day is on Thursday afternoon against the Phillies, which is fantastic. We also found out that Max Fried is going to be the opening day starter midway last week, which was probably the biggest obvious headline that we were going to get throughout spring, but nonetheless, good for him. We'll get to that in the 1 o'clock hour as well. Now it's time to play Braves Wall Street and find out which of these guys' stock is on the rise and which of their stock is falling. And we'll start with you on this one, Caleb. And we'll start with Austin Riley because, I feel, and we've spent quite a bit of time this spring talking about an important year this is for him in his development, in his young career. Where do you feel like Austin Riley's stock is right now?
It's not plummeting, but it's certainly on the downfall just because I think it's a situation where I don't know that I can depend on Austin Riley. Like he was a couple summers ago or a couple springs ago, I should say, we were having this exciting moment of look at Austin Riley, Johan Camargo, who's going to win this job? Who's going to come out? And then it was almost like Austin Riley won it because he wasn't as bad as Johan Camargo. It was never Austin Riley took hold of the job. And it's a situation where I think he's a fine defender and very inconsistent at the plate. And so I have no choice but to say, at least personally, that I feel that his stock is on the downfall in that there was plenty of times last year when there were trade talks amongst the Braves and I was thinking, hey, maybe Riley will be a part of that, and I think last year I was thinking, well, maybe we won't lose that much if Austin Riley gets traded and we get another pitcher, another starter at that point. And then it didn't happen. And so it's like, it's fine.
Joe,
to me, Austin Riley is your classic, IPO comes out, hot stock, everyone's buying it, shoots way up, and then it has the big pitfall. But I see him now at this point kind of on a slight rise, on the rise. Brian Snicker talked about him the other day, and if we could play that sound from him, he just really had a good discussion about his development.
Snit talking about Austin Riley, you mean?
Yeah, I think we're gonna pull it up here in just a second.
A year more under his belt. He defended himself really well last year, and he should continue to get better. He should continue to figure things out and to be more, have more confidence in himself. And we really, a year ago when it was shut down, we loved where he was. And coming into the summer camp, it was, I was happy with, really his year. He's not the finished product yet. There's still, like, you know, he's going to, with the added experience and confidence and approach and the whole thing, he should continue to improve.
And that's kind of where I see him right now. I see him as still developing, still getting better. And he dealt with a quad injury last year that he admitted this spring really kind of held him back. I think he can hit 30 homers. You know, he's projected on Fangraphs to hit 26 homers this year. I will take the over on that. I think he's going to be one of my guys who's going to be one of the bigger over performers based on projections.
Yeah, and I hope that you're right. I kind of approach Austin Riley cautiously this year. I guess if I'm talking about his stock rising or falling, I kind of feel like it's flat right now, because you're right, Joe. He hit the market and was just unbelievable. I mean, it was so much fun what Austin Riley did that first month or so that he was up in the big leagues. Almost unfathomable what he was able to do from a power standpoint.
He carried the team. He carried the team when he came up.
He did. And the offense, I mean, you got to remember what all was going on with that offense at that point in that season. There was a lot of other guys that were hitting the ball well also, but they were the best offense in baseball for like 3 weeks, because Austin Riley was batting like eighth and hitting a home run every 2 days. It was unbelievable. It hadn't been like that since then. And this happens to young guys. I think sometimes we get a little bit spoiled because of the young talent that this team, that this organization has brought to the big leagues over the last few years, that hasn't really had those struggles. Like, Ronald Acuña's just come up and pretty consistently been Ronald Acuña. I know there's been dips, but not like we're talking about with Austin Riley.
Right.
With a lot of the pitchers as well. Like, these guys just come up, Soroka comes up, and he's Soroka. Okay. Now, there's a lot of other pitchers that have been back and forth and back and forth from the minors to the big league club over the last couple of years as well. But for me, Austin Riley this year, I just kind of need to see it. It feels like it's a really big year for him in terms of proving to not just us, but to himself and to the Braves that he can be an everyday player, and you're not going to have those prolonged stretches of slump, because that's what's gotten him in the past. When he's been good, he's been good. I mean, he hit 8 home runs last year in 51 games. That's pretty solid. But he had those moments where you just couldn't trust him at the plate.
Right.
I mean, he was going up there and you could pencil it in as an out. Obviously, you know, a lot of that has to do with strikeout rate. A lot of that has to do with chasing balls out of the zone that he's getting better at, as he's getting older. But this is a really big year for him. And I'm with you, Caleb. Last year, there was a lot of those conversations about if the Braves are making a trade, would he be a part of it? That needs to not be the case by the middle of the season this year. Like, he needs to not be involved in it. Really, like, he needs to play his name out of those conversations, and I think he can do that this year. But I think, to me, that's a big part of what success would mean for Austin Riley this year.
See, I guess the issue that I have with him is what I saw out of that 2019 year where he jumped off the first 3 weeks and looked so hot. Wasn't that just the classic example of no one had tape on him? And everyone figures out, oh, okay, what's his struggle? Oh, off-speed outside, you're going to swing at it every time? Cool, then I'll put it there.
I think where my optimism comes from, and I know we got to move on to other players, but where my optimism comes from is that if you look at the numbers, he actually is, the walk rates are getting better. He is doing a better job at improving those weaknesses. So I think that improvement is just going to continue, and I do think that hopefully we see the reflection of that in the kind of the more top-line numbers. My biggest fear with Riley, and as I mentioned earlier, is him just staying healthy over the course of the season, but hopefully he can be that guy that we all thought he could be.
Speaking of staying healthy and how it impacts a player's stock rising or falling, Dansby Swanson is the second name on the list. He's going to be the starting shortstop. He has been the starting shortstop for a number of years now, and when healthy, over the last couple of years, Dansby Swanson has looked really good. And then he's been banged up at other times and has either been off the field or inconsistent. We'll start with you on this one, Joe. Where do you fall on Dansby Swanson? Is his stock rising or falling?
Again, before I kind of give it, I want to throw it back to Snit. He was talking about Swanson just a couple days ago.
Oh, no, Dansby said, yeah, he's kind of just, you know, having good at-bats, really good, solid overall at-bats, you know, with a good approach and not trying to do too much it's just been really good professional at bats out of him pretty much all spring.
you know, something that we haven't talked about so far in this show that was one of the bigger storylines heading into the spring training for the Braves was not necessarily down to the roster, but it was Chipper Jones coming on as an official, you know, coach on this team, a hitting coach. And it's been documented that he and Dansby have a really good working connection together. And he was one of the guys who really helped Dansby turn things around a couple years ago in 2019. I think it had to do with his hand placement and maybe shortening down his stride a little bit that really helped him develop that opposite field power, because one of the things that Dansby frustratingly did over and over again when he was still struggling earlier in his career was just rolling over everything to that third base side. And now he's really showing that power the opposite way. I just can see him continuing to make that rise. He's a guy that obviously struggled coming out of the gate in his career, but I see only good things for him. His thing is he's just got to stay healthy. He keeps on having a calf injury or something like that during the season, but if he can stay healthy, and by the way, he also gives you, I think, underrated defense at shortstop. He's very just consistent out there, nothing to worry about. So, I feel like I'm repeating myself with him and Riley, but if he can stay healthy, I think he's going to be a borderline all-star type of player.
Caleb?
You guys talk about health. I mean, he played 60 games. He played every game last year.
Yeah.
I think that was the thing, is before you had the calf, you had the wrist. There were issues coming up with him as to why you weren't getting that production out of him that I don't think is a concern now. I think there is a ceiling on Dansby Swanson where he's not the savior that he was brought in, that he was traded for.
Correct. Yep.
He was brought in to, he's the hometown kid. He's the, you talk about Chipper Jones. He's the Chipper Jones, the guy who's going to play here for 19 years.
Number one draft pick, all that stuff.
Yeah. All of the hype around him. He's going to be exciting to watch. And you didn't get that out of Dansby Swanson. However, he is serviceable. He is a guy that you can count on to, whether he's in that six or seven spot in the lineup, that can give you consistent production and is by Fangraphs slated to give you 20 home runs. Which, sure, you know, it's one of those, I'll take that. I
think you get it more than 20 home runs, by the way. I would take the over on that one as well.
Okay, it's maybe possible. I just think with Dansby, it's just cool. You talk about being flat on a stock. It's not rising or falling. It's just right about where you expect it to be.
He's consistent. Yeah. He's Procter & Gamble. He's just,
You're going to make money. You're going to make money on the stock. You're not going to be rich, but you're going to make money on it. I think a big part of it is reevaluating the expectation, Caleb. And I know that's been hard for people over the last couple of years because of all of the hype and hometown and, you know, whatever. I'm not scared to say it. Good looks. He was on billboards. Sure. Like there's a lot of stuff that plays into Dansby Swanson.
He's dating a U.S. women's soccer national team player. Like mm-hmm. that. Yeah. There's some prestige that comes with that.
The flow. I mean, it's all there. Like Dansby's got the superstar qualities. I would say my stock is rising on him a little bit though, because we did finally see him play. And it was an abbreviated season, but he played all the games last year. He started all 60 games last year. He led the team in at bats last year, or at least 237 at bats last year, in terms of a short season, is more than you would have seen if you projected it out for the other seasons that he's played in. And he batted .275, man. He was on base at a .345 on base percentage. And if you hit 10 home runs in 60 games, I know it's not it's not always going to translate, but that's pretty reasonable to think that he could be over 20 this year.
Mm-hmm.
That would project at like 25 or so in a full season if he was to play all 162 games, which again is going to be tough, and that's a big thing for him, is staying healthy and staying on the field. I feel like we've gotten to the point with him, or we're very close to it, and maybe this is the year where we do, where you kind of know what to expect from him, and what to expect from him is good. Like above average defense, 25-ish home runs. If he's batting sixth or seventh, sign me up for that all day.
Let me add one more thing that I don't feel like it's talked about enough with Dansby Swanson, and maybe this is just, you know, it's not going to show up in any statistics or anything, but the guy seems to be as clutch as the Braves have of a hitter on their run. Like when he comes up and the game is on the line, I am very confident.
He's getting the Powerade bath is what he's getting.
That's right. Yeah, that's right. How about, yeah, we say all the highlights have Dansby Swanson in the center of them.
Yeah, well, I mean, and you're right, Joe. You can go back and look at the playoff numbers the last couple of years. 2 years ago, when Freddie had the elbow injury and couldn't hit, I mean, Dansby and Acuna were the only ones that were hitting in the playoffs. And Dansby was good again last year, too. So, yeah, that's something to think about as well, assuming that this team will be in the playoffs, which I think we all think that they will be. What about Johan Camargo? I think this is going to be a little bit of a different conversation than the last two. Johan Camargo, by the way, yesterday was optioned down to the alternate site. He will start the season in AAA. We'll start with you on this one, Caleb. Where is the stock rising or falling for Johan Camargo?
Is he a penny stock yet?
It might be.
I was just thinking. I mean, I don't know that you could plummet from where he was looked at 3 years ago. I guess it is now. Yeah. It's just a standpoint of, wow, I don't know that a guy could drop any lower to the point where he was the best that Snit could say about him this spring was, hey, he can cover any position. We can put him at anywhere in the infield, even throw him in an emergency situation or a late game situation out in left or right. And now it's just like, nah, he's better off in Gwinnett. I think, sure, we'll put him there just because there's not enough for me to get excited about.
There was a company called Nikola that was supposed to be the Tesla competitor, and they were like super hot, and now they've fallen into disrepair with a bad CEO and everything. That is Johan Camargo. He's the guy who came on, and in 2018, I think people were thinking that, hey, we've got a guy here who could possibly, you know, be in this lineup long term, and he just never has. I think now we can. That is the outlier. That 2018 season is the outlier. I feel like we kind of know who Johan Camargo is at this point.
We'll come back and do a couple more stock risers or fallers in the pitching staff. We'll also get back into the news of yesterday, what the opening day roster is going to look like. Hour one in the books. We've got an hour left on the Braves preview show. Thanks for being with us. We'll be right back on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.